Chapter 2.
They compromised on the charging station. It wasn't like Tony had much of a choice. Dummy insisted on spending all of his time seated in it anyway, his knees drawn up against his chest and his arms wrapped around them, blinking with interest at the world as it passed by. His hatred of shoes and his insistence on spending all of his time in a metal robot bay meant that in less than 48 hours, alterations were in order.
"You okay with this?" Steve asked, holding out a steaming mug of coffee to Tony.
Tony took it, and he seemed to be having trouble focusing for a second. The smell of the brew snapped him out of it, his eyes coming clear all at once.
"Yeah, Jarvis has deactivated the power couplings, so there's no chance of him hurting himself or setting anything on fire."
He threw back a slug of the coffee, and Steve watched his throat work, concerned. Across the workshop, Thor, Clint, and Coulson were making something that had been termed a fixed blanket fort. What that meant, Steve wasn't quite sure. But the three men were doing some impressive things with a vast array of blankets, sheets, and pillows. Thor had taken the news of their new addition without even seeming to be surprised. He was also, as it turned out, adept at building a tent sort of structure with one hand tied behind his back. And in short order, ropes, wire, blankets, and bracing poles had been employed to keep the little structure in place, with Dummy's able help. Right now, Clint was lying on his back, half of him inside the fort, and Dummy braced on his chest. The boy was rapidly getting better at using his hands for small detail work, and Thor was showing him how to tie a knot with a piece of rope and a plastic bar. Coulson, sitting nearby, was unloading a bag of stuffed animals. There were a lot of them.
"It's stupid," Tony commented. "It's, I don't know, it's..."
He waved his cup at Dummy, who had scrambled up to try to reach the trailing edge of a sheet. Thor picked him up and set him on his shoulders. Clint was laughing as he disappeared into the blanket-covered space.
"Get out of there!" Tony yelled. "You have your own room! I know, I set up the security access!"
"Nice and dark and warm in here," Clint yelled back, without even pushing the blanket back.
"Good spot for a nap. Dummy doesn't mind."
Steve struggled not to laugh as Tony dropped his head into his hands and gave a melodramatic groan.
"It's fine," Steve told him, rubbing his back. "Dummy will kick him out later."
Unacceptable, Tony mumbled into his arms. "I'm just going to..."
He rolled his head to the side and glared at Steve. His eyes were bloodshot, and there were deep grooves bracketing his mouth,
and he needed a shave.
"This isn't going to solve anything. He can't sleep on the floor, and we can't sleep on the couch for the rest of our lives."
Tony didn't sleep well under the best of circumstances. Steve knew this better than most. But for the most part, Steve could coax Tony into bed before he burned himself out or collapsed from exhaustion. Sex was very effective for that, and Steve was more than happy to employ that particular lore whenever possible. In the 2 days since Dummy's transformation, Tony had seemed to fluctuate between complete acceptance and total panic, with no middle ground. One thing was for certain. Steve had fallen asleep on the couch with Dummy curled up next to him both nights, and Tony hadn't budged from his workbench. If he'd slept at all, Steve didn't know about it, and Tony was rapidly reaching his breaking point. Steve moved his hand to massage the tense line of Tony's neck.
"Go get some sleep," he said, pitching his voice low. "I can stay down here with him."
Tony shook his head.
"I'm fine."
He straightened up, pushing Steve's hand away.
"Stop coddling me."
"I like coddling you," Steve said, crossing his arms over his chest. He wavered for only a second before saying,
"What aren't you telling me?" Tony's shoulders went tight for a split second, and then relaxed. What are you talking about?
You're hiding something, Steve said with a shrug. I'd like to know what it is.
Tony gave him a vaguely disdainful look.
Come on, Steve.
Come on, Tony.
Steve shot back.
Your wand's so tight you're about ready to pop a spring.
Tony slanted a look in Dummy's direction.
I think I have reason, don't you?
He's fine, Steve said, because that could not be repeated too many times.
Tony, there's no precedent for this. We have no idea what we're doing. I understand that. But for right now, he's a healthy little boy.
Magic made him a healthy little boy, and I do not like magic, Tony said, pitching his voice low. Because we have no way to handle it, and no way to deal with it, and no way to undo it.
Steve nodded.
Shield is having an expert look at it, he said, ignoring Tony's snort of disdain.
Some crazy-eyed reject from a Harry Potter novel, Tony mumbled under his breath.
Wonderful! Perfect! That'll make everything better.
What will make things better, Steve said, is you getting some sleep.
Jarvis, it's getting close to dinner time. Can you order us some pizza? We'll get the team together and have dinner down here.
Tony opened his mouth, his eyes glinting in a dangerous manner, and Steve leaned forward.
You will eat dinner, and you will sleep tonight. And if that means the dummy sleeps in the spot he is making for himself, because he is an obstinate, willful, and altogether stubborn Stark, then good. That means his spot on the couch is open, and you can join me and actually rest.
Tony studied him, eyes narrowed and bras drawn up tight. Steve stared him down, not flinching, despite the worry that he was just as deep into this as Tony, and just as uncertain. At last, Tony sighed.
I am hungry. We can have dinner.
Steve relaxed, just a bit, recognizing the signs of a potential surrender.
We'll see if Dummy likes pizza.
Yeah.
Tony ran a hand through his hair.
Hey! He yelled. What do you think you're doing? That's not... No, Thor, not a chance. Don't...
He stomped across the room, waving a hand at the rope structure.
No, give me that!
Thor, laughing, pulled Dummy off his shoulders and handed him over.
We have accomplished much. Why such harsh words?
Tony took the boy and settled him on his hip. I meant the rope, he said, but he made no effort to give Dummy back or put him down. Dummy immediately sank both of his hands into Tony's hair, his tiny fingers wiggling through the locks. Steve, smiling, leaned back against the workbench and reached for Tony's coffee cup. It was better for Tony's health and potential sleep schedule if it was empty when he came back. And the one time Dummy had gotten hold of a cup had made it clear that was a mistake they should never, ever repeat.
This is new. I don't want to talk about it, Tony said, not even looking up from his work.
In the past week, Dummy's blanket structure had gotten completely out of control. Tony could swear that Clint was sneaking down here to toss extra sheets around, but he hadn't found any proof of it. And Jarvis might not be on his side on this particular issue. Witness the fact that he'd just let Dr. Stephen Strange into the workshop without so much as a buy or leave to Tony. Tony finished what he was working on and cast a quick glance in Strange's direction.
Welcome to the nursery, he said, his voice droll about it.
Laughing, Strange turned away from Dummy's room and picked his way across the workshop, carefully avoiding stepping on any of the many toys that littered the ground. He was carrying a small, flat case in one hand
and looked unaccountably tired.
She'll let me look into your little gift. Sorry it's taken me so long to get back to you.
Hi, Stephen, Steve said, waving a hand from the couch. He stood, lifting Demi into his arms as he did.
Thanks for coming.
He crossed the workshop to them, carrying a sleeping dummy. The boy was slumped against Steve's chest, his arms limp, head lolling onto Steve's shoulder, his mouth hanging open.
He was snoring, a rumble that should have been impossible for such a small form.
Here, Steve said to Tony, handing the boy over without giving Tony a chance to protest.
I need to pick up his mess.
Tony took the boy, opening his mouth to respond to this charge, and Steve cut a glare in his direction. For an instant, they held their standoff, Steve with his eyebrows arched, Tony with his mouth open. And Tony broke first.
Fine,
he grumbled, settling back into his chair. He shifted Dummy's weight, pulling the boy in closer to his chest.
Dummy drooled on his t-shirt, and Tony sighed, his hand stroking down Dummy's back to soothe the snores.
Steve dropped a kiss on Tony's tangled hair, then one on Dummy's.
Thank you, Steve said, with a brilliant smile.
Tony grumbled at nothing in particular. With Dummy braced against his chest, warm and limp, he turned a gimlet glare on Strange. The mystic was doing his best not to smile, and his best was not nearly good enough.
Don't even start, Tony told him. I shouldn't dream of it,
Strange agreed, but his eyes were dancing.
He's a beautiful boy.
He looks like Tony, Steve said, as he worked his way across the workshop, tossing toys and books into a basket, with Butterfinger's help, as he went.
He does not look like Tony, Tony said. He rather does.
Strange came across the workshop to peer down at the boy's slumbering face. He set his case down and held out his arms.
May I?
Tony pulled back, one hand coming up protectively to cradle the back of Dummy's head.
I think he's had enough magic done to him, thanks.
I would never, Stephen said, his voice calm and reassuring. But I would like to check and see if there are any residual effects of the spell that might still affect him in this form. He choked back an immediate and unconditional no, and took a deep breath.
Do you have to, you know, hold him to do that?
He asked at last.
Or can you do it while I, you know, keep him?
Of course, Strange said. Just hold still, if you please. He waited until Tony nodded and reached out one hand, hovering his fingers over the curve of Dummy's head. An instant later, he pulled it back, a faint frown slipping across his features before it disappeared.
What?
Tony asked.
It has to do with the object that S.H.I.E.L.D. gave me to investigate,
Stephen said, and Dummy let out a rattling snore.
Let me put him down,
Tony said, more to cover the immediate spike of anxiety those words created than for anything else. Steve pitched a floppy, oversized Hulk doll into the basket. To Bruce's blushing amusement, it was Dummy's favorite, and he usually clung to it like a limpet.
I can do it, he said to Tony, and Tony shook his head. It's fine, I've got him now. There's no point in...
Tony let the words trail away,
because he had no idea where he was going with them.
He stood and headed for the oversized nest of blankets and pillows. Nudging the blanket that covered the entrance out of the way, he crouched down and tried to maneuver Dummy into the dark, protected space.
Dummy clung and resisted, whining in his sleep. Class act, that's what you are,
Tony said, stroking Dummy's curls back.
Come on, we Starks have a certain reputation to uphold. Could you not spoil it by being... Dummy snorted in his sleep, and Tony rolled his eyes.
Pure class.
Out of view of the others, Tony brushed a light kiss against Dummy's forehead, slipping him into the huddled little nest of pillows and blankets. The boy slumped out, all loose limbs and uneven snores.
That,
Tony said in an undertone.
You get that from your dad. He sprawls all over the place, too.
Pushing himself back out, he pulled the little curtains down.
This is absolutely ridiculous, Rogers. You realize that, don't you?
He likes it, Steve said, unconcerned, as he set a cup of tea in front of Stephen. You don't have to.
Wonderful, because it's an abomination. He's sleeping on a concrete slab topped with metal decorated with some blankets you found in the back of the linen closet.
Tony continued to glare. He was offended by the thing's very existence, really. As many pillows and toys as they wanted to stuff in there, the end result was that Dummy was sleeping on the floor. Something about that made him completely insane.
He's comfortable there, Steve said. That's always where he slept, for lack of a better term. As long as he's happy there, it's either that or build him a room off of the workshop.
Tony took a seat.
I think that depends on what the good doctor has to tell us,
he pointed out. And Steve settled down next to him.
Strange nodded.
That's likely true.
He reached for the case and set his palm against it. There was a flare of light, a diffused glow trapped beneath his hand, and then the lid opened. He took out a simple plastic sheet protector and slipped it onto an empty space on the bench. Stephen leaned back in his seat.
To be honest, he said, leaning over the clear plastic vial, the spell wasn't difficult to unravel.
What did you find out?
Tony asked. His fingers lingered on the slick cover. Inside, beneath the protection of plastic, the cream-colored card was an innocuous thing, elevated by the situation.
It's object-oriented. That object, to be precise.
It was your contact with the card that set the spell in motion, Stephen said. It was intended for you, that much is clear. Though if the spell was intended for Dummy, or just any intelligent creation that you felt a heavy tie to, it's difficult to say. However, there's no doubt you are, the anchor.
Tony rubbed his forehead.
Yeah, he said. So this is my...
He bit back the words, because Steve was looking at him with a furrowed brow and tight lips.
Can this be fixed?
That's more difficult.
Stephen reached out and tapped the card, his finger barely brushing against it.
The spell is not particularly sophisticated. It hinges on the card.
Steve kept his hands to himself, but his eyes lingered on the file.
So we, what, destroy it?
That could set him back to normal,
Strange agreed. He paused, his eyes hooded beneath dark lashes. He took a deep breath.
Or it could kill him.
Tony froze.
What? His fate is tied to the card. Destroying it might break the spell,
Stephen said.
But if the magic is laid out in a particular way, he might cease to exist along with the spell.
Steve's face was white.
And there's no way to...
Tony stood, snatching the card from the bench.
No. No fucking way. We don't take that risk. Not ever. Not happening. Fuck that.
Tony...
Steve started, and Tony turned on him.
No. No. Not if there's even a chance. No, we're not...
He stopped, his teeth grinding together.
Not ever,
he said at last.
He's a living thing. He's a being. Right now, he's a human being. I get that, but he's always had...
He stopped, shoulders tight, his empty hand fisted hard against his thigh.
I won't take any chances with his life. He's a child. He's always been a child, even when he wasn't human. That's not something we do. That's not acceptable.
It's not, Steve said, calm and reasonable as ever, but his eyes were agonized.
Tony, we all know it's not. We're not going to risk him.
He stood, his big form unfolding with his usual grace.
You know that.
He reached for Tony, and Tony swayed into his touch, the way he always did, as if there was some magnetic field in play. It wasn't something he could define. He was certain that he didn't want to try. But as Steve's arms closed around him, a measure of fear and tension, something he hadn't even been aware he'd been carrying, melted away. His eyes sliding shut, he leaned his head back against Steve's shoulder. Steve braced him from behind, his arms firm and comforting around Tony's waist. Tony covered Steve's hand with his fingers digging in, gripping too tight. Steve didn't flinch, didn't complain. He just rested his cheek against Tony's head, his lips brushing ever so gently against Tony's hair.
The databases are gone, he said,
and it hurt to say the words. Steve didn't reply immediately, his breath light and easy against Tony's temple.
What do you mean?
He asked at last.
This is the one and only dummy,
Tony said, his head dipped forward. His eyes closed and opened again. He pulled out of Steve's arms, turning so he could face both of them. He folded his arms over his chest.
I keep backups of the AI memory, their schematics, their systems. Butterfingers and you, their files are still there, fully intact. Dummy is gone.
Stephen was frowning, his fingers tented against his lips, his elbows braced on the workbench.
All of the files?
He asked.
Everything's gone. All of my backups.
Tony gave him a tight smile.
Dummy is troublesome. Always has been. After the...
He stopped, cleared his throat.
Well, there was an incident. After that, I was capable to make multiple backups of his memory, his design, everything. Scattered them around so they'd always be accessible. So if the worst happened, if he was irreparably damaged, I could rebuild him, put him right. Jarvis and I have both checked. Every single one of them is gone.
He rubbed a hand over his face.
This is dummy. There's no backup. There's no failsafe. I can't...
He could feel the panic rising in his chest, hot and burning, and he hated it. With all the force he could muster, he tramped it down, doing everything possible to get himself back under control.
This is dummy. Whatever this fucker did, this is dummy.
In the silence that followed, he met Steve's eyes.
I can't fix him, he said. I've always been able to fix him. What am I supposed to do with a child, Steve? What?
His shoulders slumped.
What am I supposed to do with a kid?
Tony heard something crinkle, and he realized with a start that he was still clutching the plastic-covered card.
I'll lock this up, he said. Somewhere safe.
I hate to add to your burden, but there's another line,
Strange said. Tony and Steve looked at him, and his eyes were closed, his lips tight behind his tented fingers. He gave a faint sigh.
On the card, there's a second line. Hidden from view, but it will be triggered. Sooner or later. That was the delay, as I attempted to discern what it had to say without disturbing the card itself. Or the spell it carries.
He rubbed a hand over his eyes.
It reads, "Do you think you're equipped to deal with loss?" Tony took a breath, and that hurt.
Well,
he gritted out,
that doesn't sound ominous or anything.
His free hand fumbled in the air, and Steve caught it with his own, weaving their fingers together.
What does it mean?
Steve asked, and there was a wobbly, uneven note to his voice that disappeared after only a word or two.
He was a soldier, through and through.
It was odd what reminded Tony of that. But now, with his hand steady in Tony's, and his stable, braced posture, that small break to his voice was like a howl of pain. Tony leaned into his shoulder, partially for his own sake, partially for Steve's. Steve always seemed to be more balanced if he had someone else to brace.
There's another layer to the spell,
Strange said.
The first is what we've already seen, the transformation of Dummy's physical form. There's something else, a second part, triggered by time or contact or something as of yet unknown. But that is the second line. I managed to discern that much. And we have to assume that, like the first, it is addressed to you, Tony. What it does, I have not yet determined. I wish I had better news, but...
He spread his hands, his face helpless.
I'm still researching it, to see if I can find either the spell or the caster in any one of my tomes.
Tony stared down at the card.
Thank you, he said. And this was getting put in the most secure location he had, and that meant under every safeguard he could offer it, in the heart of the tower. Whatever this was, whoever it was, they were going to regret this particular threat.
What happened? Steve said. And it was not a question. It was in the cat voice, the clipped, controlled tone he used in the field.
Tony rocked Dummy back and forth, the boy clinging to his shirt with both hands. He was still making low, whimpering noises as he burrowed against Tony's shoulder. The sound was miserable and pained, and Tony stroked a hand down his back.
He threw up,
Tony gritted.
A lot. He threw up a lot. Okay, is he sick?
Steve's face was pale, his jaw tight. He reached for Dummy, then pulled his hands back, his fingers curling into his palms, forming fists.
As Bruce... He ate about half a pie,
Tony said. And Steve stared at him with that expression only he could manage. A little perplexed, a little concerned, and a little exasperated.
When I was getting out the forks, he managed to jam about a quarter of it into his mouth. Then when I was putting the remains away, he ate his slice and mine. And when I was freaking out at Bruce about that over the comms, he started mainlining whipped cream straight from the can. I got the can away from him, and he threw up on my pants.
Steve pressed a hand against his mouth, trying to look calm, but his eyes were dancing now, sustained laughter hidden in their depths.
And that's why you're not wearing pants,
he said, his words muffled.
They were my favorite jeans, Tony snarled at him, and they went straight into the incinerator that is usually reserved for toxic waste.
Dummy sniffled against his shoulder, and without really thinking about it, Tony rubbed his back.
So yes, that is why I'm standing in the middle of the workshop in my boxers, smelling of vomit.
To be fair, Jarvis said, this is not the first time.
Yes, thank you, Jarvis,
Tony said, rolling his eyes so hard it almost hurt.
Because every time I can hope it's the last, and I didn't even get to get drunk this time.
He bounced Dummy in his arms as the boy started to whine.
God, I need a drink.
Steve reached for Dummy.
Tony, I'm not drinking, Captain Worrypants,
Tony said. He kept hold of Dummy.
He's filthy, and so am I. Just... Bruce is bringing something to settle his stomach.
Demi raised his head from Tony's shoulder and turned tear-filled eyes on Steve. Recognizing a more sympathetic face when he saw it, he twisted in Tony's arms, holding his arms out and whining. Steve took a step forward before he caught himself, but the naked want was there on his face. Sighing, Tony handed the boy over. Demi waited until he was curled against Steve's chest to start sobbing.
"You,"
Tony said, slumping back into a chair.
"Are a fraud. Absolutely a fraud, you little faker."
"His stomach hurts, Tony."
Steve carried Demi to the sink, holding him easily with one arm as he ran the tap. With his usual efficiency, he was soon holding a glass to Demi's lips. As the boy drank, he gave Tony a sideways glance.
"How much did he..." "More than I thought could come out of someone that small,"
Tony said, letting his body slide low in the seat.
"I never want to eat again."
"Where did you even get a pie?"
Steve asked, as Demi made a loud smacking noise and pushed the glass away.
"I think Clint left it. He stocks the fridge down here now, so, you know, I open the door and there's food,"
Tony said with a shrug.
"He didn't care if I went hungry, but apparently Dummy's more important."
"True,"
Steve teased, and dropped a kiss on Tony's lips to chase away his pout. Demi hung in his arms and giggled. "I see that reports of someone's illness were greatly exaggerated." Natasha walked into the workshop, one hand behind her back.
"Given Tony's propensity towards panic, I'm not surprised. How's he feeling?"
she asked Steve, as Demi struggled to get down. He darted over to Natasha, who stroked his hair.
"Bruce is coming," Tony said.
"Bruce is not coming," she said. "You need to stop calling the doctor for every little thing. He'll stop making house calls. He has been working for days. Let him sleep. He was stumbling in this direction when I found him, and I sent him back to bed."
"But..."
Natasha glanced in Tony's direction. "He was fine before he ate too much?"
"Yes."
"Has he thrown up again?"
"No,"
Tony admitted. "Did you give him water?" she asked.
"Yes,"
Tony said. "Did he throw up after he drank it?"
"No."
She gave them a look. "Then he's fine. Here, dummy, have a peppermint. It'll help." She unwrapped the candy and handed it over. Dummy shoved it in his mouth, covering it with both hands. Natasha gave him a discreet sniff. "Bath time. Now."
Dummy's eyes went huge, and he lunged towards his charging station.
Natasha, expecting this, snagged him by the back of the shirt, letting his feet pinwheel in midair for a second. "Bath time," she repeated. He let out a howl that could rattle the windows. She sighed.
"Why doesn't he like baths?"
she asked Tony, her voice accusatory.
"He spent the first couple of decades of his life as a thing powered by electricity,"
Tony said, wincing.
Water tended not to agree with him.
"Dummy."
Steve crouched down in front of him.
"Come on, buddy, you have to do this. You know you do. We can't keep doing..."
"I've got a cap." Natasha held out one hand. Dangling from one perfectly manicured finger, a package of rubber ducks made to look like the Avengers swung in midair. Dummy's eyes were huge as he stared at them. Natasha's lip curled up. "Take a bath," she said, calm and precise, "and get the ducks." She looked down at them. "I like the little Hawkeye duck. He has an arrow in his beak."
Dummy made a grab, and it was a pathetic attempt.
Smiling at him, Natasha held them just out of reach. "Bath and ducks," she explained. "Or stay here. wallow in your own filth, which is what Starks do best.
Hey!
Tony felt obligated to say, but it lacked heat. And I give the ducks to Clint. Because Clint would love these ducks.
Dummy's bottom lip quivered, and she arched an eyebrow.
Please, she said, don't embarrass yourself. You're not going to play me, baby. Turning briskly on her heel, she headed for the bathroom. The ducks held enticingly over her shoulder to dangle down her back. What's your choice?
It took less than 5 seconds for him to break and scramble after her, his bare feet paddling along the workshop floor.
Natasha glanced over her shoulder and gave them a wink, and held the bathroom door open, letting Dummy bounce in.
Nice, Steve told her.
Men are so easy, she said, her eyes dancing. Dangle the right bait, and they swallow the hook.
That is just untrue, Tony yelled after her, and her laughter echoed out to them.
That's only partially true, he said to Steve. Only a little.
I call it incentive, but I'm pretty much with her on this one,
Steve said. He held out his hand.
Shirt.
Ugh, the romance has gone out of our relationship, Tony groused.
And Steve laughed as he stripped the filthy t-shirt off of Tony's chest, ignoring his struggles. Of course, when it was all over, Tony was in his boxers and Steve's arms. And hey, that wasn't so bad.
Kid vomit, he reminded Steve. Pie and vomit. I'm not attractive here, Steve.
How did you possibly let him get to an entire pie?
Steve asked, sounding completely confused by this.
You know he sticks everything he can in his mouth. Didn't we learn this lesson with the donuts?
The donuts? I lost track of the box, Tony pointed out. And he was fine after the donuts. I mean, mostly.
Steve groaned. He cannot eat the way you do. You eat either horrible junk food or you consume nothing but protein shakes filled with algae. Ugh, you are just...
He leaned his forehead against Tony's.
Mealtime.
No,
Tony said.
Yes, Steve said, laughing. Family mealtime, Tony.
Living hell, Tony said. Not a chance.
Tony, he's been like this for 3 weeks now. We need to start assuming it might be indefinite.
Great, wonderful. I'll get a trust fund together so we can send him to college, Tony said, avoiding Steve's eyes as he pulled free of his arms. It'll be fine, be great.
He needs to leave the workshop, Steve said. We need to start that, even if it's just small trips. He can't live down here, Tony. He needs to go outside.
His brow furrowed. He started to pace.
It's not right for him to be down here all the time. He needs other kids. He needs school.
Steve, he's 3, Tony said. Maybe 4. We don't even know how old he is. He's not...
His hands were clamped down on the edge of the bench, so hard that they hurt. He let go and dug his fingernails into his palms instead.
It's a little early to be worrying about that.
We need to think about it, Steve said, because he was always at his most stubborn at the times when Tony really wished he wouldn't be.
If this is how he's going to be normal, Tony.
He's a bot, Steve! Not sure how we got to the point of needing to wear Oshkosh, but here we are. One thing he's never going to be is normal.
Steve's jaw was at an obstinate angle.
We can make him as normal as possible.
He paused, sucked in a breath.
He needs a real name.
He has a name,
Tony said, rubbing his forehead.
It's fine. That's his name. You think we can call him Dummy outside of this room? Really?
You're going to expose him to that? What people would say?
Steve sighed.
He doesn't have a name, Tony. He has an insult that you dropped at the wrong moment in his development. A rubber duck came flying across the room and bounced off of Steve's shoulder. It hit the ground and rolled, a little Captain America duck with a shield on its wing. Steve stared at it and crouched down to pick it up. He cradled the toy in his fingers, blinking down at it. He looked up, and Dummy stalked to the middle of the room, trailing a towel behind him. Steve frowned, reached for him with his free hand. Dummy slapped his hand away. Tony winced. Dummy, hey, look, it's... Dummy gave him a look, betrayed and furious, his eyes full of tears. He ran back into the bathroom, shoving past Natasha's legs. Natasha stood in the bathroom door, her arms crossed over her chest. "He can hear you," she said, her voice strange, brittle at the edges. "He's not stupid, and he's not deaf, and he don't..." She stalked forward and slammed a finger into Steve's breastbone. "Take the only identity he's got, because it's not convenient for you." Her jaw was tight, her eyes slits. "He knows his name. You don't get to take that away from him." She drew back and slapped a Captain America towel into the center of his chest, holding it there with one flat hand. "You have no idea," she breathed, "what it is to be stripped of everything you know, to have only your name left. When that's taken too, when you are left with nothing, you cling to that name, even if it's never said again, even if no one ever knows it. You know it. The last shred of your identity, before that, too, is taken from you." She shoved the heel of her hand against his chest, enough to rock him back. "You can call him whatever you want, but in his head he's Dummy, and you have no right." Her mouth worked, and she took a breath. "Don't do that. Don't take what little he has left without his consent." Natasha took a step away, turning her back on them. "You're better than that." "I didn't mean..." Steve started, his voice breaking, and she waved a hand in the air. "I know," she said. "I know you didn't. But he's new here." She glanced back, her lips kicking up on one side. "Watch what you say. He's got very good ears. And he doesn't talk, but don't mistake that. Don't assume that means he doesn't understand." Tony glanced at the bathroom. "How much did he hear?" "Probably all of it. I'd just gotten him in the tub when he stopped playing with the ducks. And he's slippery when he's wet." She slipped out the door. "We all need to be more careful. I didn't realize what was going on until he'd already gotten out of the water." She paused and shook her head. "Either I'm losing my edge, or he's better than I anticipated." "He's a Stark," Tony pointed out. "We're always more trouble than you can anticipate." "True." And just like that, she was gone. Steve was staring down at the towel and the duck in his hands, his face miserable. "I should..." He broke off, swallowed. "How do I fix this?"
"If I may, Steve, I believe that he should prefer to hear from Sir at the moment," Jarvis said, his voice very gentle. "He is simply afraid and confused. He will be fine, but he requires reassurance."
"Oh, great! I've got a lot of experience being reassuring," Tony said, sarcasm dripping from the words. He stalked across the workshop, digging a pair of sweatpants from a cabinet.
"With all due respect," Jarvis snapped, Your lack of practice in this situation is none of his concern. He has less experience than you, and unlike you, he has no choice but to deal with this.
I'm going, Tony snarled.
He met Steve's blank, wanted eyes.
Go take a seat, Cap. It's fine, okay? Just let me, I don't know, I'll just talk to him, okay?
Without waiting for a reply, he headed for the bathroom, pulling the door shut behind him.
With Steve's hearing, it wouldn't do much good, but he liked to give the appearance of privacy. Of course, it didn't really matter, because the only occupant of the room was a pile of towels in the middle of the floor.
He glanced at the linen closet, which was now open and empty, the majority of the towels dragged down to cover Dummy's huddled form. He stepped carefully over the towel lump, checking the empty tub, where the majority of the ducks were still scattered, and scooping up Dummy's dirty clothes. Tossing them on the sink counter, he considered his next move.
There weren't many that were available to him, and he went with the only one he could possibly see working.
Tony took a seat on the tile, leaning his back against the cabinet.
So, he said at last, we're, what, angry? Afraid? Confused?
The lump of towels didn't reply, and he reached out a careful hand, hovering it over the terry.
Steve, he said at last, has always liked you. Maybe he was the first
who liked you, just because of you. I mean, there's me, but I made you, and, you know, I have an ego. Of course I'd like you. But, Steve, I told him your name, and he didn't like it. He didn't like it because he thought I was, well, using it to hurt you. That I just called you something mean without thinking about it. Because a lot of people called him things that were intended to hurt, so he knows what that's like.
He reached out and brushed a hand over the lump.
It wiggled away.
Tony let his hand fall back to the tile.
He was afraid that when I was calling you Dummy, he said, leaning forward to brace his arms on his upthrust knees, that I was hurting you. Without knowing you, without knowing anything about you, he was worried that you had feelings, that you had a sense of who you are. And he didn't want me hurting you.
He rubbed a finger up and down a scar on the side of his knee.
I made a mistake. I made a lot of mistakes, but you were the first. I didn't think when you came online. I didn't know your identity would be so important to you. I should have, but, you know, I was drunk and stupid.
A horrible thought occurred to him, and he gritted his teeth.
Stark men and alcohol. Hurting. Always saying and doing things, you know.
Swamped by a sense of self-loathing, he stopped, wanting to put his fist through the wall, through the glass of the mirror. He wanted to scream. Instead, he took a deep breath, and the air smelled of bubblegum bubble bath and mint.
I gave you your name without thought. I didn't think about it. I didn't make a gift of it. It was an afterthought. But it is your name. It will always be your name unless you want to change it because that's your right.
The towel shifted, and a pair of dark eyes peered out at him, red-rimmed and sad. Tony slid down until he was on his back. His head tipped toward the towels until they were eye to eye.
But Steve wants everyone to know that that you're important and valued and that we know you're smart. So when we're outside, when other people are around, we cannot call you Dummy. Other people won't understand.
Dummy's fingers were worrying something in the shadows beneath the towel. He ducked his head, curling into himself.
So you will always be Dummy to me, to Steve and Jarvis and Natasha and Phil and Clint and Bruce and Thor. You will always be our best boy or best bot, but we need to choose another name. Like, he cast about, desperate. Like Iron Man. Demi looked up, eyes going bright for the first time. Yeah, like Iron Man. And the relief was a heady thing. He wanted to laugh because, yes, of course, yes, this was right. This he could understand. They could both understand. Dummy was staring at him, a little suspicious, and Tony grinned at him. You're in the tower with everyone, I'm Tony, right? But when I'm outside wearing the suit, I'm Iron Man. I'm still me, I'm still Tony, but people call me something else. He reached out, and this time Dummy let himself be lifted up, wrapped in towels, and seated in Tony's lap. Tony rubbed his hair dry as he said, Everyone calls me Iron Man, even Steve. And Jarvis calls me Sir, right? No matter where we are. Dummy nodded, just a little dip of his chin. Tony scrubbed his face, ignoring the slapping hands. So, you'll be Dummy here, and for everywhere else, we need to choose your alter ego, your superhero name, right? He pulled the towel away. But Steve can help, you know, if you want him to. Dummy frowned at him, and Tony tipped his head up, one battered knuckle on his chin. He just wants to keep you safe, Tony said, his voice low, awkward sounding to his own ears. To be happy. He doesn't want anyone to hurt you. He leaned back. Can you... He sighed. Do you want to go give Cap a hug or something? Because that would be nice. I mean, if you want to. Dummy leaned into him. No arms, no hug, but a lean, stiff little body against his shoulder. Tony slipped an arm around his shoulders. You are and always will be my Dummy, he whispered against Dummy's curls. And nothing will change that. He sat back, meeting the boy's eyes. But if you throw up on me again, I'm giving you to a zoo. Dummy grinned. Big zoo, tiny cage. He stood, reaching for the closet where they'd stored some of Dummy's clothes. Let's go, get dressed. He picked up the wadded-up clothes as Dummy struggled into the clean ones. The pants rattled, and he rolled his eyes. Ugh, what have you got now? He muttered. Jesus, pack rat. Don't think I don't know about your little stashes, you damn magpie. He dug into the pockets. Marbles! Who gave you marbles? Clint. Of course it's Clint. I know it's Clint. And a chunk of wire. That's important. Good. Some nuts and bolts. Literally. And some... He emptied the pockets, tossing the contents on the counter. What are you... Dummy snatched a wadded-up piece of paper out of his hand and jammed it into his sweatshirt pocket, then started gathering up his odds and ends, sticking them into pockets with an obstinate look at Tony. Well, don't play with paper in the bathroom, Dummy. It'll end up getting destroyed. Tony shook his head. Great. That's gonna end up all clogging up the washer at some point. He tossed the dirty clothes down the laundry chute. Jarvis, just check his clothes for anything that'll make the water main explode, okay?
As of yet, he has not managed to produce anything capable of detonation, Jarvis said. But he has only had two hands for a short time.
Not comforting! Tony waited for Dummy to finish collecting his junk, taking the opportunity to splash water on his face, on his chest... And this was exhausting. This whole thing was exhausting, and there was quicksand everywhere, and the possibility of hurting, of ruining things, and he was so good at that. So very good at muddling everything up and making a fucking mess! He glanced up, catching sight of himself in the mirror, and his eyes were dark and shadowed. Dummy tugged on the side of his boxers, and he glanced down.
Okay, okay. He said. All clean? Good boy.
He offered Dummy a hand, and got a high five for his trouble.
Let's go talk to Steve.
Dummy leaned against his side, and Tony rubbed his hair with one rough hand.
It's gonna be okay. He's your friend, right?
Dummy glanced at him and nodded.
Friends hurt each other sometimes. Say bad things or stupid things, or forget that not everyone thinks like them. Part of having friends is forgiving them when they, you know, fuck up.
His eyes flicked away, but his face was considering. When he pushed away from Tony, he headed for the door on his own. Steve was sitting on the couch, his face buried in his hands, his shoulders bunched, the lines of his body tight with something leashed and dangerous. Dummy crept over, and without even checking, Tony knew he was fiddling with one of his scraps. The Captain America duck was on the table in front of Steve, and Dummy picked it up. Dummy set it on Steve's knee, making him jolt. Steve raised his head, eyes going from Dummy to the duck and back.
I'm sorry, he said, trying for a smile. It wasn't particularly successful. Someday you'll tell us what you want to be called, with your own voice. But until then, if you want to be called Dummy, then that's what we'll call you.
He swallowed.
I'm just new at this.
Dummy rocked from one foot to the other and nudged the duck with his hand. Steve picked it up.
Thank you, he's very nice.
He glanced at Dummy.
You don't want him anymore?
Dummy crawled up on the couch, took the duck back, shoved it into his pocket, and wrapped his arms around Steve's neck. His movements hesitant and careful, almost fearful. Steve reached up and hugged him tight.
I love you,
he whispered,
and I won't let anyone hurt you, so we'll call you whatever you want.
Tony cleared his throat, blinking hard.
So, I was thinking,
he said, leaning back against the workbench, his arms crossed over his chest, his feet crossed at the ankle.
You're smaller now than when you're a bot, right? Small dummy right now. Dummy Junior.
He rubbed a hand over his jaw, feeling the stubble.
So I was thinking we could call you DJ for now. Still dummy, just shorter. Efficient. It'll save processing power, right?
Steve nodded, slowly at first, and then with visible relief on his face.
Just for now, he said, looking down at dummy. Until you choose something that you want to be called outside.
Tony didn't realize he was holding his breath until Dummy nodded. Just a little nod, but he kept his head on Steve's shoulder. The relief that went over Steve's face was something else entirely, there and gone in the instant before he buried his face in Dummy's curls. Tony nodded.
Okay, great. I'm gonna just... I need a shower, I think. I'll just...
Steve held out an arm. And Tony went gratefully into his embrace, but masked it with a snort.
What, is this hugging time or something?
Or something, Steve agreed, brushing a kiss over his forehead.
Thank you.
Okay, Tony agreed, and tried not to think about how much he wanted a drink. Instead, he just wrapped his arms around Steve and Dummy.
Yeah.
After a long second, he just closed his eyes, relaxing.
We're going to watch Wall-E again, aren't we?
Dummy giggled against his neck, and he sighed.
Fine.
He leaned back.
After dinner.
Steve looked at him, his eyes clearing.
Go shower. We'll figure out dinner.
He looked down at Dummy.
No pie. Dummy giggled, and Tony didn't roll his eyes.
He wasn't sure why not. Steve winced as Dummy's screaming hit a painful and pained note.
Tony, I know.
Tony retreated back into the workshop, and Dami's howls subsided to soft sobs. Tony patted him lightly on the back.
What is wrong with you?
He asked the huddled mess of a little boy in his arms.
For Christ's sake, dummy.
Rubbing a hand over his face, Steve slumped forward. His perch at the top of the stairs was intended to be reassuring, but he wasn't accomplishing much from this distance. It was saving his hearing somewhat, but any benefit to that was offset by the strain on his nerves. It took everything he had to stay seated, to keep his distance, to let Tony handle this. At the door to the workshop, Tony glanced up, his expression full of frustration. But he continued to rock Dummy back and forth in his arms, stroking the boy's back with one big hand. He was humming under his breath, a soft little tune that Steve had caught him singing under his breath numerous times since Dummy's transformation. Steve didn't know it, but it had quickly become familiar to him. Soothing and sweet in equal parts, the tune seemed to relax both Tony and Dummy. Today, it was not working its usual magic.
The whole get Dummy out of the workshop thing isn't going well, I take it,
Clint said from behind him, and Steve twisted around to face him. He had a napkin-covered plate in one hand and a dusting of flour down his hip. There was a subtle smell of chocolate and sugar that became apparent as he jogged down the steps.
Not so much, no,
Steve admitted, scooting over so Clint could take a seat next to him. He watched as Clint set the plate down and folded the napkin back, revealing a steaming plate of dark chocolate cookies. Clint followed Steve's gaze and grinned.
Want one?
Thank you. No, I...
Steve blinked as Clint pushed a warm cookie into his hand.
Just me,
Clint said, his voice soft. He picked up a cookie of his own and took a bite.
Not bad.
Steve gave it a sniff, and with a shrug, he took a bite. It was yielding and sweet, but with a texture he hadn't anticipated. Blinking, he took another bite, sorting through the different tastes.
What are these?
Clint chewed and swallowed, licking a bit of melted chocolate from his fingertips.
Chocolate comfort cookies,
he said, reaching for another. Steve finished his cookie and accepted another.
What's in them? Melted chocolate, pistachios, marshmallow fluff, cream cheese, chocolate chips, cocoa, raisins, among other things,
Clint said.
He grinned at the expression that must have been on Steve's face. They're kitchen sink cookies. They shouldn't work, but they do.
He paused.
Huh. The crying has stopped. Think that the little monster wants one?
Steve jolted, his head snapping around. Dummy's eyes were fixed on them, his fingers still clutching Tony's shirt, but he was visibly sniffing the air.
I think so, Steve said, as Tony stroked Dummy's hair. Want a cookie, brat?
Clint asked, pushing himself up. At Dummy's enthusiastic nod, he laughed.
You know, just because your doting daddies are putting up with his nonverbal crap doesn't mean I'm going to,
he said, wandering down the stairs. He wasn't moving quickly, but steadily. Behind his back, he gave Steve a sign. Recognizing it, Steve stayed put, half a cookie falling to crumbs in his grip.
Watch it, Barton,
Tony gritted out, but Dummy was giggling, his body wiggling as he tried to get Tony to put him down. Tony clung to him for a moment, the gesture protective and defensive, his body curled around Dummy's, but it wasn't necessary. Dummy wriggled out of his grip and was almost bouncing by the time that Clint made it to the doorway.
See, you can talk. Talkers get cookies,
Clint said, handing one over to Tony.
He steadfastly ignored the clutching hands that batted at the air right below his plate. Instead, he popped another cookie into his mouth and made happy noises until Dummy grabbed hold of the side of his jeans and started climbing.
"Okay, okay,"
Clint laughed. Keeping the cookies out of reach, he scooped Dummy up one-handed and brought the boy in for a hug.
"Cookie?"
Clint asked him. He set the plate down on the workbench.
Dummy made a humming noise, his eyes dancing. "It's a start."
Clint gave him a cookie, and Dummy shoved it in his mouth with one bite.
"Manners, you beast! Christ, maybe it's better if you stay in here."
He ignored the spit and crumbs that were now decorating the front of his shirt.
"I'm not being seen with you in public. Just so you know, I have standards, and they don't include a kid who won't put on socks and refuses to leave his room. Hey, he's..."
Clint gave Tony a look over Dummy's head.
"I got him, Stark. Time out. You are in such a timeout right now. Let the kid have a cookie and calm down. It's not going to hurt anything if he stays here right now, is it? So just, I don't know, just go have a cup of coffee."
Without waiting for a reply, he turned back towards the door. Snagging another cookie, Clint handed it to Dummy and lowered him to his feet.
"Hold on a sec,"
he said. He picked up the cookie platter and leaned out the door.
"Hey, Steve, Thor was supposed to be right behind me. Can you check and see if the big lug has decided to wander in our direction yet?"
Steve glanced behind him.
"No, not yet." "Great."
Clint pushed a hand through his hair.
"Thor time. It defies physics and logic."
Behind him, Dummy was hovering at the edge of the doorway, his eyes on the cookies. He made a whining noise under his breath, and Clint picked up a cookie and held it out. Dummy reached, his fingers coming up a few inches short. He scooted forward, just barely keeping inside the workshop, and stretched. The cookie was just barely out of reach. Clint kept his eyes on Steve's and his hand still.
"I don't know why I rely on him," he mused out loud. "There's no point in it. He'll be around if he feels like it, but I have never been able to figure out what makes him feel like it. He's a pain in the goddamn ass, I swear."
Dummy's arm reached, his fingers clawing at the air. His body weight shifted, and his feet automatically moved, catching his balance. His right foot crossed the barrier of the doorway, and he froze.
Up above, so did Steve. Afraid to breathe, afraid to move, afraid that Dummy could hear his heart beating. Clint just kept talking, like none of it was happening. "Do you think he owns a watch? I can't imagine one would survive his usual rough treatment, and the static electricity alone would play havoc with everything. So maybe that's why he's late all the time. Hey, Stark, do you think..."
Dummy skittered forward another 2 steps and snatched the cookie from Clint's hand. Collapsing against Clint's side, he began to eat it, slow, careful bites, his eyes bouncing between Steve and Tony and back. Clint glanced down, resting a hand on Dummy's head.
"Oh, there you are. Took you long enough. Want another one?"
Dummy's nod seemed rusty, awkward, and he clutched at the side of Clint's shirt, his eyes darting around the space. Tony was standing just back inside the doorway, and Clint gave him a smile.
"Sometimes,"
he said, and Steve let himself stand, let himself move downwards, one careful step at a time.
"You just have to make the choice to leave the nest on your own." "Or be bribed into it," Tony said, arms crossed over his chest. But he was smiling. "You're just jealous you didn't think of it,"
Clint pointed out. Dummy peered around Clint's legs. Tony smiled at him.
"Good boy, Dummy."
He dipped his chin up.
"Go give Steve a cookie. Or a hug."
"Both?" Steve offered, reaching the bottom of the stairs. He crouched down.
"I'd really enjoy both." Dummy almost leapt into Steve's arms, a broad grin on his face.
You did it, Steve said, hugging him tight. All by yourself.
He leaned back to meet Dummy's eyes.
You did it. You were so brave.
With a faint hum, Dummy ducked down, tucking his head under Steve's chin. He settled in with a sigh, his fingers still gripping Steve's shoulders.
From the doorway, Tony asked, Do you think we should push our luck?
Steve glanced up at him. He looked tired, dark circles under his eyes, the grooves that bracketed his mouth carved with a heavy hand. As much as his own instinct was to protect Dummy and let him grow comfortable with the world at his own pace, Tony was barely sleeping, barely eating. The strain of the situation was pushing him to his limits, even if he refused to acknowledge it. Even now, he met Steve's eyes with the sort of stubborn defiance, endearing and worrying in equal amounts.
Is that the little warrior? Thor's feet pounded on the stairs with so much force that it was like a herd of elephants descending. Have you decided to explore?
Without waiting for a reply, he reached down and scooped Dummy up, tossing him in the air.
Such bravery deserves songs sung and tales told of great deeds. Come, we will feast.
Dummy shrieked, the sound happy and bright this time as he flailed in midair.
Drop him and I will break every bone in your body,
Tony said, strained and still. He reached up and jerked his hands back, swallowing hard.
Enough! Enough!
Chuckling, Thor lowered the boy to the floor.
He is well, see?
Dummy held up his hands, imploring Thor with bright eyes.
No, no, if you are to go exploring with your sires, then someone must remain here to keep your brother's company. Is that not true?
He strode into the workshop, pausing to greet Butterfingers and you.
My metal friends, come, we will play a game while we wait for Dummy to return with stories of his adventures.
Dummy followed after him, blinking up at Butterfingers, who gave him a gentle nudge.
Do not be foolish, Jarvis said. Dummy will be quite fine. He is in the best company and will be well protected, even without your care.
Thor patted the bot.
I will remain with you. Have no fear.
He paused, then looked at Dummy's pleading face.
You seek to go no further than the other floors, aye?
Thor asked, his arms crossed over his chest.
Why not have them accompany you?
They can't, Steve started. He stopped, caught by the objection, and glanced at Tony.
Can they?
Tony was stroking a hand over Butterfinger's strut.
If I give them permission, you know, from a coding point of view, they can. But they've never shown any inclination to leave. But now their brother is going into unfamiliar territory,
Thor pointed out.
And that is always easier, always safer with companions, is it not?
He glanced down at Dummy.
Should you like to have them come?
Dummy reached out a hand to you, patting his base, and then his claw when he dipped it down within reach. Dummy leaned forward, his forehead against the metal, and heaved a small sigh. He nodded, his fingers stroking across the metal.
Jarvis?
Tony asked, already pulling up the holographic display.
What do they think of this?
They are eager to help, Jarvis said. This is not a familiar task, but it is one they understand. And if I were to interpret their data exchanges, I would say that they are relieved that this is an option.
He paused.
They miss him greatly. The separation has been difficult. This may alleviate it, at least somewhat.
We're not going to send you off alone, Dummy,
Steve said, and the boy grinned at him.
No, we will not, but we have no fear of the world beyond these walls. We have known it well for so long. Perhaps having a companion as uncertain and inexperienced as himself, perhaps that would help,
Thor pointed out.
He went down on one knee, his hand on Yu's strut, paralleling Demi's grip.
Would you bring your brothers along to give you strength?
Demi glanced at Tony.
Tony arched an eyebrow. I know you left this place on your own once, he pointed out with the ghost of a grin. No reason they can't come along, too.
Stick to an interior room, Steve said, keeping his voice low. Maybe the theater?
We can do a loop of a couple of the halls, Tony agreed.
Without looking, he reached back, catching Steve's hand. Steve laced their fingers together, squeezing gently.
Tony took a deep breath.
We can do this, right?
If Dummy can do this, Tony, so can we.
Steve slid his free hand around Tony's waist, pulling Tony back to lean against his chest. Tony went easily into the hug, his body relaxing against Steve's.
I'm afraid,
Steve whispered against his hair, so soft that he almost couldn't hear his own words.
He can't stay here forever, Tony said.
The words were pragmatic, but his fingers were trembling as they flicked through the lines of code.
It's just another floor, just upstairs. The kitchen, maybe that's interior. I don't want him near the windows, not yet. I don't want him...
His shoulders flexed.
Exposed.
Steve buried his face in Tony's shoulder, forcing himself to take a deep breath.
Yes, he said.
He flattened his palm against Tony's stomach, feeling the flex of muscle, the warmth of the skin, even through Tony's shirt. It was comforting, that tactile reminder that he was stronger than he looked sometimes, that there was a core of steel to him. Steve kissed the side of his neck.
We'll keep him safe.
Tony reached up, his fingers touching Steve's hair.
That's not a promise you can keep, he said, and he sounded tired. It's impossible.
Steve's arms tightened.
Part of an impossible task, he said, is just refusing to admit it's impossible.
Are you implying we're stupid enough to attempt the impossible?
Tony asked him, his head tilting to the side to meet Steve's eyes.
A couple of times a month, Steve pointed out.
Parenting, not for the faint of heart. Or the sane.
But he was smiling.
Jarvis, get the popcorn machine running and cue up Wally. On the upstairs screen. Something about this needs to be familiar, right?
Steve looked over, to where Thor and Clint were outfitting Butterfingers and Yu for the big bad world outside the workshop, with Dummy's able help.
I don't know, he said, smiling. This all feels pretty familiar to me.
Tony paused, watching them.
It's starting to be.
Tony jammed the pen in his mouth, juggling the tablet and the boxes in one arm and his coffee in the other.
Jarvis,
he mumbled around it.
You got anything?
There was no reply, and he sighed as he jogged down the rest of the stairs. Trying to take a sip of the coffee without taking the pen out didn't work out well.
He got coffee everywhere.
Coughing, trying not to spit on anything that might get stained, he shifted his burdens again and spit the pen out on top of the stack.
Jarvis, did we get anything from S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Silence. Frowning, Tony slowed for an instant, glancing back over his shoulder. But it was faster to go down now, faster, and the workshop was better. If there was a problem with the auditory input system or the speakers, he needed to deal with that from the workshop. Decision made, he kept going down. Faster now, almost at a run. For a moment, when he first reached the final landing, he couldn't understand what he was seeing. It didn't make sense. It didn't compute in his brain, a data mismatch that he couldn't clear. Something was visible through the glass. Something dark. No, not dark. Dark wasn't right. Something absent, as if a hole had been carved in what he could see, what he could comprehend, carved in the face of reality itself. It was like an abscess that curled, smoky and immaterial, in the air, looming over Dummy. Dummy, who stood there, bare feet stark on the floor, his dark curls visible, so visible from this distance. He was staring up at it, his face curious as it reached for him, long curving fingers sliding through the air to close around him. Tony heard himself scream a warning, and knew, even as it pushed its way out of his throat, that it would do no good. The thing in the workshop was there to collect what it had made. The boy beneath its hands and the heart that was now beating out of control in Tony's chest. Everything crashed to the floor. Coffee mug shattering, coffee splattering his legs, his feet, the tablet, the boxes splitting. Tony threw himself forward, crashing into the door, his hands going to the keypad. Jarvis! His fingers danced over the keypad so fast that he wasn't surprised when the door didn't open. His hands were shaking, his body was shaking. He typed in the code again, and again, and again, but the door wouldn't give way, wouldn't open. Jarvis! On the other side of the glass, Tommy was staring at him, a faint frown curling his lips downward, as if he hadn't realized there was a problem until he saw the panic on Tony's face. Now, however, his face curdled, his lips parting, his eyes getting large. Tony slammed a hand against the keypad, against the wall, against the door. Jarvis! He was screaming. The sound ripped out of him, and he flung himself forward, smashing against the door with all the force his body could muster. Jarvis! The door shuddered beneath the assault, but didn't open, didn't give way, and Dummy was scared now, fear in his face, in his body. He turned back toward the shadow that was still creeping toward him. His feet moved backwards, a stumbling step at a time. His foot hit the edge of some hidden obstacle, and he crashed to the ground. Some fragment of rational thought was forcing its way past the panic. Some small portion of his brilliant mind coming back online with a staggering lack of speed. He twisted away from the door, lunging for the panel that housed the fire extinguisher. He ripped it open, and it triggered the fire alarm automatically, the howl of the alarm ringing in his ears. He swung back around, hard and fast, his whole body following the movement, the base of the heavy metal extinguisher flung forward like a battering ram. It hit the glass and the panel cracked, going foggy and white, opaque in an instant. Tony swung again and again, flinging it forward with all the force in his arms, crashing into the wall as if his life depended on it. Then arms closed around him from behind, pinning his arms to his sides and lifting him off his feet. The fire extinguisher slipped from his fingers, clattering against the floor, but he barely noticed. He was fighting, screaming, his throat aching even as the familiar grip sank in. Steve's arms were like bands of steel, and Tony wanted to kill him, wanted to kill him for this, even as Thor stepped past them, Mjolnir arcing through the air with a crack of electricity. It hit the glass, and the door shattered, falling to dust in a single blow. It cascaded to the ground, white and slick as snow. As it descended, it blocked his view for an instant, the blink of an eye, a single indrawn breath. But when the air cleared, when the glass had fallen away, the workshop was empty. No. The word was his, the sentiment, the agony. But the voice was Steve's, whispered against Tony's ear. No. God, no. Tony's feet brushed the ground, and he shoved forward, breaking free of Steve's hands. His first step hurt.
his bones aching as they moved, the joints in his legs, his hips, his shoulders, his elbows so tight that he felt ancient, arthritic, and broken. But he stepped forward, one step after another, into the silence of the lab.
Dummy?
There was nothing there. There was nothing there.
Dummy?
His mouth felt like it was bleeding. Maybe that was why he couldn't breathe. He'd drowned before, after all. He'd felt his throat and lungs filled with liquid, seen his vision go red and then black against the water, against the blood that pressed in. He was drowning. He was drowning. He stumbled, almost fell, and a hand was there, on his elbow, on his wrist, and he shook it off.
Dummy? Jarvis?
He pushed past the bench, knocking something over. It clattered to the ground, metal on stone, clanging with the tone of a broken bell.
Butterfingers, you?
The other bots stirred in their charging stations, bracketing Dummy's tent city, the airy and ethereal creation of cotton and silk. Tony's fingers sank deep in the fabric, ripping the panels down one after another, ripping sheets and flinging pillows away, scraping the stupidity away, the human trappings that masked the reality. It wasn't until he reached the bare metal of the charging station that he finally went still. He was on his knees now. How he'd gotten there, when he'd fallen, he didn't know. But there was a toy in his hand, green felt crushed in his fingers, and his hand was on the bare metal, and he wished he could cry. He wanted to, but there was nothing in him, nothing left. Dummy? It was plaintive, broken. Steve was next to him now. His blue eyes shuddered and agonized. Tony, we'll find him. Tony stared at him, not really understanding the words, not really caring. He pushed himself up, shedding sheets as he went, but he carried the toy along with him as he stumbled across the workshop. Up to the counter, where he pulled the Iron Man poster off the wall. He reached up with his free hand, pressing his fingers, his palm, against an invisible panel. One only he knew about. One only he could open. Hand. Then the eye scan. Then another scan no one could see. And then the panel disengaged, pushing up and aside with a faint hiss. He stared into the dark hole revealed there. Too tired, too full of pain to even feel a thing. First laugh caught him off guard.
My brother?
Thor asked, worry on his broad face.
The card.
Tony reached in, his fingers closing on physical backups. Data disks and rewritable drives, paper copies and contracts and the heart of his company. His creations, and his past, and the basis for his future, all there, everything he'd done. He closed his hand on random bits and flung them free, another handful tossed hard across the floor. Crystal and plastic cracked against the concrete, and he emptied it, dumping everything out, and it was too late that he realized he'd lost his grip on the toy as well. The plush Hulk slumped in the middle of the remains of his life. Tony stared at it.
The card's gone,
he said. And that was it. It was over. Dummy and the card and dummy, all of it stripped away. He pushed both hands through his hair, and his fingers were shaking. His whole body was shaking.
It's gone. It's gone. He's gone. He's...
Steve was there when his knees went out from under him.
Tony, that could have survived a direct hit from a nuclear bomb,
Tony rattled out, teeth chattering. No one can open it. Only me. Biometrics, everything. Everything I did, and it wasn't enough, was it? It wasn't enough. I hid him. I thought I could hide it. I thought I could hide him, and there wasn't a way to get to him. And it was a joke all along, wasn't it? He was never safe. He was never safe. It was all a game. A fucking game! And I left him alone. Words were broken. God, Steve. I left him alone. You couldn't have known. Steve whispered against his hair. And they were rocking back and forth. Broken and helpless now. Tony, whatever did this, if he wanted Dummy dead, he would have killed him here. He didn't. He took him. Tony! Tony was being shaken, hard and sharp, and he stared, unseeing, at Steve. He's still alive, Tony. There's no point in killing him somewhere else. If he wants us to suffer, he'll keep Dummy alive. He will, and we will find him. Tony glanced away, back at the Hulk toy. We will find him, Tony. We already have. They looked up, and Thor held out a comm unit. He is on the landing deck, Thor said. Tony stared at him, not understanding. The landing deck. The curved path on the roof where he landed in full armor, and the assembly bots removed his gear. Waiting there, fully visible through the windows. For you, one must assume. He has Dummy there. Our comrades are... If he had anything else to say, it was lost in the roar of blood in Tony's ears. He was already up and running.